Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children and anarchists of all ages, welcome to the Dark Lord Reapers United States of Anarchy podcast. Who am I? I'm the Dark Lord himself, Nightmare King, giving you unapologetic truth and hardcore facts, and occasionally we have fun over here. Looking for celebrity gossip? This is not the podcast for you. This is a podcast for real topics, for real situations, for real people, and to spread knowledge and have fun. Don't like what I have to say? Two words. Don't listen. Boycott this podcast. Boycott my social media. Boycott my website. Boycott my music. Boycott anything that has my name and brand attached to it, people. It's that simple. Now, here I am again, people. As promised, I am going over the 48 laws of power, words of wisdom. We've covered 10 so far, so we're going to cover 5 more, and we're going to see, and I'm going to teach you how to apply them to your everyday life, and also to know when someone is trying to do it to you. So buckle up, hold on tight, and let's have some fun. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are doing Words of Wisdom, the 48 Laws of Power. So in the last episode, we covered, and this is part 3, people. In the last episode, the last law of power we covered was law number 19. You can't know who you're dealing with, be careful who you offend. So we're going to pick up from there. No particular order. Law number eight. Make other people come to you. Use bait if necessary. Let's see what it says. It's always preferable to make your opponent come to you, as they will have to abandon their plans and strategies in the process. Lure them in and then attack. This prevents you from ever reacting to your opponent. Instead, they have to react to you. This means playing the long game, sitting back, staying calm as others get stuck in the traps you've carefully planned out for them. However, your traps are only as good as they perceive attractiveness of your bait. If your bait is sweet enough, your opponent will become blinded to the reality by their emotions, allowing you to gain the upper hand. Now, I can give you a bunch of examples. I'm gonna give you guys two examples of this. The first example is gonna take you way back in time. Way, way, way back in time. To possibly one of the best times in music. 1985 or 86. This was the time period called the Bridge Wars in hip hop. Around this time, we had a young female MC, a legend to this day. She works on radio. Her name is Roxanne Shanti. She was a part of the group, a legendary hip hop group called the Juice Crew, which comprised of herself, the late great Biz Markie, DJ Marley Marl, the legendary Brooklyn rapper Big Daddy Kane, and the premier MC of the time, MC Shan. Now, at the time, MC Shan just made a song called The Bridge, talking about where they're from. In the song, they said, now you all heard the story again and again about how it all got started way back when. And he did say Bronx, but the way it was said so softly that it was perceived that they were saying that Queens deserves the credit for hip hop, for the creation of hip hop. Which everyone knows, hip-hop originally began in the South Bronx, August 11th, 1973, South Bronx, for those of you who don't know. One particular rapper, one of my personal favorites, took exception to the record, and his name is KRS-One, and he was in a group called Boogie Down Productions. So at the time, they were trying to get their records out. They were trying to get their record. And at the time, they gave it to Mr. Magic. And the way that they presented themselves to them is as if they were performing. So Mr. Magic, like, you know, you kids are crazy. Get out of here. So KRS-One went back to the where he lived at the time, because he was homeless, living at a men's shelter. He revealed this. He was upset. So he heard the record on the bridge. So he made a song responding to it called South Bronx. And him and his DJ, the late great Scott LaRock, gave the tape to DJ Red Alert. So DJ Red Alert was probably one of the biggest DJs at the time, along with Mr. Magic. Because Mr. Magic was the only DJ during that time period that was playing hip-hop on the radio. Because, believe it or not, for those of us who don't know, hip-hop was blackballed in music, period. Not just the artists. The music genre itself was being blackballed. Like, he couldn't get played on the radio. So he made a song called South Bronx. And they didn't know what DJ Red Alert was going to do. He put it into his mix and play at a party. Couldn't play anything else for the night because everything that came on that night that DJ Red Alert played, the crowd was chanting, South Bronx! South, South Bronx! South Bronx! South, South Bronx! So word got back to MC Shan. And MC Shan, you know, because this is how real hip-hop works. You don't angry tweet about it. You don't pull up on anybody. You either respond or shut up. You respond on record. So MC Shan got in the studio and made a song called Kill That Noise, where he's basically saying, yeah, we know hip-hop started in the Bronx, but kill that noise. So the record went, South Bronx, kill that noise. South Bronx, kill that noise. And KRS-One responded, the top five greatest diss records of all time, The Bridge Is Over, where he called out every member of the Bridge crew, of the Juice crew. Now, most people, even MC Shan and KRS-One, admitted this. MC Shan could have killed KRS-One's career. He could have shut down Boogie Down Productions by doing one simple thing, ignoring it. This is an example of make people come to you, use bait if necessary. Now, here's another example of that. I'll give you another example. Let's say you want to fight somebody one-on-one, right? But this person is gang affiliated. So you know if you got to fight this person. As a matter of fact, remember when you were in school and the one popular kid who had all kinds of friends and was, you know, well thought of and everybody liked him, and he was picking on this one kid, and the unpopular kid decided that he's gonna defend himself and fight. Now, under normal circumstances, the kid that is the labeled the loser, the punk, the nerd, whatever, he doesn't stand a chance against the popular guy. But little do most people know that most of those dudes that are like that, not all of them, select few, some, it all depends. Let me make that abundantly clear. That are in fact bullies, at heart they're cowards because they're not gonna fight you on equal terms. They're gonna make it, a guy like that is gonna set it up that he doesn't necessarily have to put hands on. He's gonna let his friends do his dirty work. Now, how do you get around that? The unpopular kid calls him a coward. Fight me one-on-one. Let's see how tough you really are. Now see, he challenges his manhood. That's the bait. There it goes. If you want to see, so there's an example of law number 8, people. I just gave you 2 examples. Make people come to you. Use bait if necessary. So when we come back, we're going to go over another law power. And we're back, so we are doing Words of Wisdom, the 48 Laws of Power. Now, we're going to go, now as we continue, let's get into law number 14. No, law number 14 is pose as a friend, work as a spy. Now this one is possibly the most relatable because it has happened to me. It has been done to me. So let's get into it. Knowledge about your rival is essential. By posing as a friend, you can ask direct questions and gradually get your opponents to reveal their weaknesses and their intentions. Once you know this information, you can better predict how they are going to move next. If you don't want to pose as a friend, get others to spy for you. However, while you gather information, you open yourself up to a vulnerable by letting other people do the work for you. It's always better to spy and pose as a friend yourself. Now, I'm telling this story from personal experience as well as to help someone else. So if someone is doing it to them, they know what's up. Remember, this fits into law of power number 2. Watch your friends use your enemies. This fits into that. Because a lot of your friends, a lot of people you think your friend, they're not really your friend. They're really not. You just been given the illusion that they are your friend. When in fact, they're just there to spy on you. Here's one example, right? You know that person that is on your Facebook friend list or Instagram friend list or whatever social media, they're on your friend list, right? They don't ever interact with you. They don't ever like, comment, nothing, right? They're just there. And when you look through their friends list, if it's public, because some people make their friends list private. You ever look through their friends list? The ones that you can look through their friends list and you see who they interact with, and you have problems with that person that they're interacting with, 9 times out of 10, they're probably a spy for that person that doesn't like them. But here's a better example, right? A few years ago, I found myself in a situation I shouldn't have been in, because these are people that told me from day one they didn't rock me, didn't like me. But I made the fool mistake of thinking with age people would change. Boy, was I wrong. And those same people, because they wanted to take a trip down memory lane and talk about who was popular, who's a loser, who's this, who's that, right? So I divulged information that these same people told me in confidence. That's why I look at people's sideways. And I never repeat it. And these are people that I thought were my friends, and I told them stuff in confidence, not knowing that the people that they were talking trash about, they ran back and told them everything and made me out to be the bad. So there's one example. Be careful. I just gave you one example. And I'm going to expand on that in an episode when I feel comfortable talking about it, because I'm honestly still processing it. Now here's another example, right? Once again, one of my personal stories. This is when I was in high school and I had that real hip-hop battle rapper in me. Now, for those of you who don't know, when I was a kid, between the ages of 13 and... between the ages of 13 and 17, I was a battle rapper. Like, I battled. That's what I do. That was my sport. But anyway, to make a long story long, so basically, the first guy I ever battled, his name was Leprechaun. Not because he was short, but because he wore a lot of green, because of his certain affiliations that he had that we're not going to get into. So I would hear all types of wild stories about him. How he was in the streets, how he was the protege of a legendary musical artist that took him under his wings. And I kind of found it to be somewhat true, but he put himself out there that he was a ladies' man and that he messed with girls. He had a girl for every day in the week, and he was a pretty boy. And he looked like he was a star. He carried himself that way. He looked like he was the guy. So a lot of people didn't question, but when I did my little investigation by asking people that was cool with him about him, and I came to find out that he really wasn't a ladies' man. He actually only had one girlfriend, and he wasn't sleeping on her. The guy was really a bookworm. He wasn't this super tough guy. He really wasn't. That was just a persona that he put out there. But I posed as a fan to find out this information that I could use against him later on, which I did. And after that, me and him became friends. But I'll tell that story another time, the full story, so you guys can understand how we came about. So, that is an example of law of power, law number 14. Pose as a friend, work as a spy. Oh, yes. Before I wrap it up, let me give you another example. Most people will send their friends to do their dirt. Here's an example of when sending someone to do your dirty work. Let's say you and somebody has a problem, right? But you both have a mutual acquaintance. And that mutual acquaintance comes up to you one day and is asked whether you guys are on friendly terms or not. And they're asking you indignant questions that they normally wouldn't ask you or they normally wouldn't speak to you. Translation. That person is spying for someone that doesn't like you, and they're going to run right back and tell you. How can you get around this? You give them the information that you want them to know, right back to law number 8. Make people come to you, use bait if necessary. So for those people that like to do that and had it done to you, here's something that'll help you out so the next time someone tries this stunt, you know what's up. So when we come back, we're going to go over another law. And we're back. So we are doing the 48 laws of power, people. So in this segment, we are going over law 16, which is use absence to increase respect and honor. Interesting. And it says, the more present you are, the more common you appear. Create an air of scarcity around yourself to increase your perceived value. If you currently exist within an established group, intermediately withdraw so that others talk about you and admire you more. To do this effectively, you must learn when it is the right time to withdraw. In doing so, you force their respect by inadvertently threatening your absence for good. Once you return from your absence, it will appear as if you have been resurrected, and people will be relieved to see you again. Now, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? Okay, I'll give you two. Okay, you know those people that go to the club every week? Like, every weekend they're in the club or at some party. And they see the same people over and over and over and over again, possibly wearing the same outfits or variation of outfit of the same outfit that they wore the week before that, the week before that. If you want to, basically it's saying you got to make it so that it's a privilege. The people that rock with you and respect you and like you, you got to make it seem as if, you got to make it that it is a privilege to hang out with you. So like when you show up at certain places where people that know you are frequent, they'd be like, oh my God, you're really here? It's been so long. Because the more you see, the more you're seen in certain areas, people will look at you as common. But if you pop out every now and again, like, okay, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Party every now and again. People will respect you more. People will look at you like, oh, he's different. He's really about his life. And on top of that, it removes, like, when people talk about you, people will look at you like, okay, who is this dude? Like, I really want to meet him. Like, he sounds like a cool person. Or like, who is this chick? I really want to meet this chick. You see what I'm saying? So you gotta, it's basically saying, you want to create this mystique about you. Because people can't talk about you if they don't see you around. I mean, they'll talk about you, but they won't have as much to say because people are going to be like, wait a minute. If he's this person, how come I never see this person around? Like, who is this person? You get what I'm saying? So, when we come back, we gonna get into some more laws of power. And we're back. So, in this segment, I wanted to go over Law 26. Which says, keep your hands clean. You must maintain a spotless appearance. You should never be associated with nasty deeds. To do this, employ the use of a scapegoat to disguise your involvement. Your reputation depends on what you conceal. Your reputation depends more on what you conceal than what you reveal. You should always have a convenient scapegoat on hand for when needing to conceal your more dubious activities. In addition to a scapegoat, you will also need a cat's paw. This is someone who does your dirty work for you while obscuring your involvement. This means letting someone else be the bearer of bad news while you choose to associate yourself exclusively with the good. Now, we all know somebody like this. We all know somebody who does real grimy things, but they let other people do their dirty work for them. Now, let me give you a few examples. The cat's paw is someone that is loyal to the person playing puppet master, basically. And has no problem getting their hands dirty. For example, here's a really good example. You ever noticed when you were in school, you had that clique of girls, and one was like really popular, the really popular girls, and you always had that really mean one, but she was subtle about her meanness. She was real subtle about it, and everyone thought very highly of her. Well, at least publicly. And she always had that one friend that if she was planning on fighting, it was the one friend that would fight and she wouldn't be involved in the fight at all. That's the cat's paw. Now, the scapegoat is a little bit different. The scapegoat doesn't necessarily know that they're a scapegoat. Basically, they get this person involved in their dirty dealings, and when the bottom drops out, the scapegoat is made out to be the bad guy when it was them the whole time. Something that I can relate to. And I'm gonna, when I tell that story of what happened to me, you guys are really gonna understand. So, in other words, how do you get around this? Well, there really isn't much getting around it. You just have to be aware of it and know when this person is doing it. So you can be like, yeah, it was you the whole time. Like, you made this person do your dirty work. Now, I can give 1,001 examples. I'll probably be sitting here all day if I actually go over it, like, in detail of examples of people that do dirt but keep their hands clean. Here's the best example. My best example. What happened on January 6th, 2021 last year? The storming of the Capitol. Who pumped them up? Who pumped up all those people to go up there and storm the Capitol? Just ask yourself that question. Who radicalized all these people? But yet, his hands are clean in it. Technically speaking, whose hands are clean? Think about that. So when we come back, I'm gonna go over one more. And we're back, so we're going over the 48 laws of power. So let's go over another one. Law number 33, discover each man's thumbscrew. Interesting. Find your opponent's weakness. This is often an insecurity, an untamed emotion or desire, or sometimes a secret pleasure. To do so, look for the following. A, instances where they behave like a child, which indicates some unresolved trauma in their childhood. B, contrast, as an overt trait often conceals its opposite, i.e. arrogance often hiding insecurities. C, the weak link, which is often someone behind the scenes controlling their behavior. And D, ways to fill the void of their insecurity or unhappiness, to wield insignificant power. Last but not least, how to encourage their uncontrollable emotion as if they won't be able to control themselves. You can do the controlling for them. Now, this is an interesting law of power. This is an interesting one. Because everybody has a thumbscrew. You, me, everybody. Everybody has something that makes them tick, that pushes their buttons. Like for some of us, it's an addiction to cigarettes, smoking, whatever. Some of us, for others, it's lust. For some people, it's power. Some people are addicted to power. Some people are addicted to money. Some of us have unresolved childhood trauma, such as yours truly. Some of us have fears, phobias. And people can, if they're paying attention to you long enough, they will use it to exploit you and use it to their advantage. Now, how do you do this? How do you sidestep this law of power if someone's doing it to you? It's simple. You have to do the work. Therapy. Basically, do the work yourself. Be honest with yourself, because we all have triggers, thumbscrews, if you will, but the trick is to make it so even though someone's trying to trigger you, you don't react to it. That's where the true power lies. For example, as a kid, I was teased mercilessly for being as dark as I am. And it was done by majority people around me. That's how they defined it. And it really bothered me. But here's what I did. After a while, I made it my strength. I turned my weakness into my strength. It didn't bother me. It still hurt that people called me, defined me by that, because I'm a lot more than just the color of my skin. But I made it my strength. That way people couldn't hurt me anymore. Couldn't use it to hurt me. Like a few people that were skinny and people would make fun of them for skinny, being skinny, they would be like, hey man, just call me Slim. And they would just accept it. Basically, when people are trying to use what they perceive as your weakness against you, you make that weakness your strength. That way people can't use it to hurt you. And this was in one of the episodes of Game of Thrones, and it's in the book when Tyrion was talking to Jon Snow for the first time. Called him a bastard, and it bothered him. He's like, you're a bastard because of your lineage. I'm a bastard by nature. He told him straight up, never forget what you are and who you are. That way people can't use it to hurt you. He said, make it your armor. That's basically how to do it. Because, yeah, we all have it, but it's not the world's job to walk on eggshells because something bothers you. It's up to us to control how we react these things. That's where the true power lies. So I'm going to end this episode here. Tune in next time when we go over my classic TV, movie, video game, trailer, toy reviews. And then after that episode, we're going to go over America's Best Dishes. Me and some lovely guests, we're going to go over food. We're going to talk about who has the best burgers, who has the best fries, who has the best of the best. So, until next time, people, always seek truth, get into therapy, keep yourself healthy, spiritually, mentally, physically, stay sucker-free, stay hate-free, love, peace, chicken grease, deuces!